D97.
You want to start that over again?
No, it's fine. Part of what I want to do will be on the record. Part will be off the record, I believe, is your legal terminology for we better not record some things lest they come back to eat us alive. I'm Yorgos Hatton. Eustace, you've been waiting quite a while to have this encounter. It isn't that you don't encounter me all the time. It's just in your own form. You see, I am a higher energy. You can tell by the size of my chair, my throne. I get an extra 6 inches. Used to be that Princeton could not hear, so he had to lip read. Now he has those modern conveniences. We don't have to go through it, but we do. Before Eustace gets away, I want, please, for someone to get Lonnie Cleaver's evaluation of what happens here. The moment Little Crow gets here, I want him seated here to my right. I'm going to get Eustace up here to the left, but not yet. I want to know if Gene Dixon is coming in today.
We think tonight.
How are we going to ever get a common law center going while we distract to everything else going on? I wanted you to think about this, and I want Gene to think about this. There is nothing that I can see that he is doing today that he could not, number one, have done Friday when he said he was going to do it. Or there are two attorneys now hired to the case in Nevada. Why don't I have the head of the law center here? Valerie, I would appreciate it if you want to take notes, dear. Bruce, I would appreciate it if you would pay very close attention, because we have an opportunity. The enemy always gives you an opportunity. Remember, throughout all of the lectures and information that I have given you, the most important thing that you must know is God's people wear a sign. I call it nativity. I'd like you to outgrow that, please. Evil, the adversary's team, they all must wear a sign. You will get your clues. They just cannot, under any circumstances, tell you the truth. That's number one. I don't mean to be rude to Gene, but in the midst of a very busy session, which all of you are going to be very, very sorry you missed yesterday afternoon, how are we ever going to integrate protective, sheltering corporate structure when I can't get ones to spend enough time to learn what you've got to do? There was nothing in Las Vegas, nothing here important enough to miss those meetings, you who are in the nucleus here. I'm not interested in foreign trusts, but you have a world full of people trained. They have made their lives a mess. And if you don't understand what you're doing, how in the world do you expect those that you're supposed to help understand it? The point was to go to a seminar, or there was no point in going at all. So now we're right where we were. We have to have court over here. and Dorma and EJ have to do the work. Fortunately, Nora takes exceptionally good notes. And as the evening wore on yesterday, Nora said, I don't know why you wanted me there or why I should meet Mr. Mullins. Other than all of us so highly respecting Eustace Mullins, he has one of the most predominant roles to play in this entire scenario. And why would we ask Little Crow to come out here? I mean, after all, he's just an Indian. Forgive me, Marina, I'm going to make a point here. There's something called in Lakota Sioux an Awakan Wakong. This is known as the sacred altar. We're through playing in the adversary's campground. We're going to take over the adversary's campground and move him out. How did you think it would be? You see, Eustace has been around long enough to have seen anything and everything. And this is no crazier to him than anything else he's had to experience, other than possibly trying to discern, is this the same one I partied with a couple of nights ago? No, it's not the same one. This one, just like Eustace Mullins, agreed at some point to serve the cause of a revolution. And I don't want all of you going about any longer misdefining words. A revolution is either a full cycle of something, or it is a revolvement back into something. It is not taking up your AK-47s and going and shooting whoever you may perceive to be your enemy. We're going to have a deposition here today. And I'm sorry, I don't have the legal person to ask the questions. We'll have to see if Little Crow can stay over. I want it on record, not under oath, but under the word of the person speaking. You can call it penalty of perjury. You tell me what the penalty is for these lawyers to perjure themselves.
Being lawyers.
Touche, Wally. That might have been a very wise statement. Their penalty is being lawyers. That has to be as close to hell as you can get, isn't it? Well, when I say that we're going to go over this later, Dorma hasn't paid any attention at all to what Jean wrote as far as a rebuttal or a follow-on. But Jean hasn't been here. Jean has not been to court. Jean is still working under the assumption that if EJ had blurted out some things and demanded some things of the judge, that it would have made a difference and we would have had an overwhelming win. Well, if he wanted an overwhelming win, why wasn't he there, number one, to support us? Or why didn't he have someone from the staff there to support us? When you are left to do things alone, you better learn how to do them, and this is where you learn how to do it. Because I do not notice any lawyer able to discern what the damn case is about. And the judge is sitting up on his bench, even higher than my throne, handing down edicts, and he tells you exactly what the case is about. They have accused Doris of plagiarizing Walter Russell's work. And they infer that she has no brains and that she deliberately sat at her computer and did this just to insult and show her contempt for Judge Robert Coyle personally over a temporary injunction that he made actually against George Green years ago. And he isn't going to let her on the stand because he knows when they get her, next time they get me. So after the ruling, they asked to have opportunity to rebut, to study and rebut the proof given. And so what does Good Brotherhood Judge do? He allows them until Monday to do that. That was a week ago. Jean said, well, I believe that you have a right and you really should do this. And so he did a letter. This is another thing about the law I detest and absolutely deplore. Why would Jean or anyone else write an affidavit for anyone else? Are you going to lie? Are you going to tell the truth? And isn't Mr. Ecker capable of putting down his opinion? Well, after all, there are so many things to do in the short period of time that we have to do them that most certainly we need our paper structured correctly. But nobody structures them correctly, do they? Just ignore it. It'll settle. And I'll try not to yell. I've got at least 2 days. Watch and wait, watch and wait. Eustace, be patient with us. Everything is being placed in front of you, but you're going to have to pick it up and carry it. Do you understand that I'm not going to put anyone in a position of doing possibly more than this? But I certainly, I am still trying to have just one of them have nerve enough to get me on the stand. Well, a letter went in asking permission of the God of the bench. May we please have our opportunity to respond to their responding? What are you going to respond with? What are you going to respond with? Another legal letter? Please, your godness. And what are you going to say in it? We have massive monitoring systems. We have all of this stuff, and US&P really doesn't know what they're about, that Lau and Walter wanted their truth out. And when we get to the part where I want it on record for the judge, please, I want another clean tape.
Another what?
Clean tape. I want, when we start, I want a clean tape. Because, you see, we're going to start some common law right here in these 2 days. Eustace would have been very happy, very pleased to get up and testify to his knowing, to his knowledge, personally, of one Walter Russell and Lau Russell. I'm not going to go into all of the false statements that have been made, but they're lies from one moment of opening sentence to the end, closing sentence, of the adversary or your opponent's work. While they want to throw somebody who writes about God and has the audacity to consider that she may be listening to a host of that God. My name is Hatton. It is pronounced Aton. I don't like it pronounced Aton or Hatoon. That's the way it's usually spelled. H-A-T-O-O-N, Hatoon. It isn't Hatton. It's Aton. Therefore, in Egyptian, the nearest thing you have to spelling my name is H-A-T-O-N-N. Why would there be a second N that's silent? Because if you don't have two N's, you pronounce it Aton. And the first alphabetic symbol is silent. It is a breath. And life is breath. And little Crow's going to get here and tell you all about it. Breath. You stop breathing and you're going to what? Ascend. You've been practicing at ascending for long, this whole New Age movement. Just quit breathing and experience, brothers. Life goes on while you're all making other plans. I understand that. When are you going to start making your plans around what God is offering you in exchange for your petitions? It's there, you know. What is this old saw about if you close a door, a window opens, or another door opens? You ask, God responds. But heaven help God if he responds in a way you're not expecting. Because you won't look. And you won't consider a possibility, especially if it takes a little effort. That can't be it, and that can't be it, because I want instant healing. I want right now, I want you to shower us with gold, and that will do it. Because we're ready now. We know what to do the minute we get some great funds. Well, supposing Eustace had waited. Would never have happened, would it, Eustace?
Oh, you never wait. That's something you do not do.
Never wait. But you get your eye on the goal of truth, and you wade through it. Because all of those lessons as to what to do come when you least expect it. E.J., read this. I don't want to. This is in rebuttal to the request for Judge Coyle. Mind you, this is not from Judge Coyle. This is from the children.
Yes, the signer of this is Christopher E. Seymour of the law firm of Dietrich, Glassrud, and Jones in Fresno.
Now let me tell you about Dietrich, Glassrud, and Jones. Buchanan et al. There is one of the very highest ranking adversarial judges amongst the ones in that law firm. I just thought I'd toss that in to make your day happy.
It's addressed via hand delivery to the Honorable Robert E. Coyle, and it's dated February the 25th.
And which one do you suspect hand delivered it? Couldn't be the ex-judge, could it? From the judges' club.
University of Science and Philosophy versus Green et al.
Isn't that interesting, right from the very beginning?
Really?
No Ecker-Ecker. No Ecker-Ecker, not even the respect, if you want to talk about contempt of naming the ones who are on the execution block. It's against Green. Now, is that misleading or not? Mr. Green, and you now have proof, because Orion Sutton, and maybe I won't tell the ones who provided the information. I don't want to give Green an advantage today. Sent an entire package, and it contained all of the things that George Green mails out. He has been collecting them right up through this U.S. S&P case. And George is very proud of himself that he supplied all of this condemning. I have to get the right word. Condemning information to finally get those Eckers, like he promised before, into jail. It's all there from George Green personally. So go on. This is now against Mr. Green.
Dear Judge Coyle, I am in receipt of a February 21st, 1997 letter to you from Mr. Ecker, asking for permission to respond to pleadings or filings by our office as authorized at the contempt motion hearing on February the 18th. The University of Science and Philosophy objects to the filing and consideration of any additional materials submitted by the Eckers.
Okay, write this down. I want to know, how can an institution, U.S. and P, object to anything? Do you see what you've got to do? You have got to begin to be explicit. Who is U.S. and P? And in this instance, who are they talking about if they're not just talking about Seymour? Obviously, Timothy Binder. Because U.S. and P does not think. It is a corporation without ability to think. So it has to be a board of directors, and in this case, since the board of directors was against filing this case, who dares speak for U.S. and P? Mr. Binder has no right to speak for U.S. and P, so put this down as your first objection. No, that's your second objection. I'm sorry. Please remind the judge that this is against Mr. Green. And number two, U.S. and P cannot speak. It is a corporate entity. So make them define who. Remember Dave Miller's "Get Your Pronouns Out." Name the person. It is Timothy Binder, who is not CEO, is not president of U.S. and P, and has no right of authority to even bring the suit, much less require that the judge deny you the right to speak. Are we interested in justice? Are we interested in what are we interested in? Injustice. That's what we're interested in. Under all penalties of possible justice, get the suckers in prison, we'll show the world. I don't think so. I don't think so. Because, number one, keep in mind what the judge said, what they said. Don't confuse yourselves. What is the case about? Deliberate, flagrant, intentional, willful contempt of Doris Ecker to go ahead and write, EJ to let her, in the face of God Coyle. And the judge reminded you, that's what the case is about. It isn't about monitoring systems. It isn't about subject. It is because I said, you can't and thou shalt not, and it doesn't even matter what's in the agreement, you poor little thing. It's about your contempt of me sitting up here on this high bench in my black robe. God help them if they ever put on a white one. Well, maybe God would be helping them. Go on. This is such fun.
The university was allowed 1 week to reply to additional documents submitted by the Eckers at the time of the hearing in opposition to the motion. As the university's reply will be limited to addressing the additional opposition information presented by the Eckers, it would be inappropriate to allow the Eckers to submit further opposition. To do so would be contrary
to... Stop, I can't stand it. Isn't it amazing when you really read it? You don't get past the second word. Once again, the university objects, the university isn't... What is this about? They don't want to hear any more about this willful contempt of the judge. What is this? This doesn't even refer to the case, does it? Not really. They're objecting to the copies of the paper, and guess what they're really objecting to, and that's Okilo. Okilo. Well, isn't it wonderful that Chief Okilo never, ever objected under any circumstances, even to South Africa and people, to Magnus Penny's call from South Africa, to Rick, to Jean, to anyone. He always said, fine, when it was stated that there would be a recording of this, that this is serious. Fine. Thank you. And so they can come back to the judge and say, alleged phone calls. Supposed phone calls. In other words, Rick Martin is a total liar, Your Honor. I mean, we have our own produced affidavit that he never gave personal written permission except for one article. But they never got the original signature, did they? Chief Okilo isn't as dumb as they assume. And you don't cut the throat of your CEO and president and send him back to Nigeria the day of the hearing unless you've got subterfuge. So let's start off right at the top. If you intend to change anything, you're going to have to change the way you handle it, and you nail them every time they breach their job. And you're going to have fun with this one. Go ahead, please. I get a little passionate. I think if I yell at you, I'm like a parent. I think if I yell at you like you do your children, that maybe you'll hear. Well, I should whisper and then maybe you would listen. But I haven't trained myself well enough.
Anyway, it would be inappropriate to allow the Eckers to submit further opposition. To do so would be contrary to motion practice, which allows...
See, it would be contrary to our laws and regulations. I mean, then don't call it a motion. That's number one. Don't call it a motion. Call it something else, rebuttal. What I would suggest you do is call it a countersuit for contempt of court and the judge personally by putting this garbage in front of him and insulting his intelligence. Come on, let's go. This is fun.
To do so would be contrary to motion practice, which allows for the moving party to be the last to submit matters in connection with a motion, i.e.
justice. Oh, we're just going to get justice here. All we want is a hearing on justice.
The last word.
But we had the last word, and they don't get another turn. Truth or consequences? The last thing, Judge, you're going to hear is the lie. Oh, go on. I'm sorry, it's such a short letter.
Yes, me too. Well, submit matters in connection with a motion, i.e., a reply to the opposition. Very truly yours, Christopher E. Seymour, with copies to Eckers and Timothy Binder.
Notice something else about lawyers. They always put their signatures on a second or third or whatever appropriate page so that they can never be held accountable. They can say, well, this letter was for something else, Your Honor. Until you learn what they do, how in the world are you going to go fight, quote, fight anything? So perhaps before the end of the day or tomorrow, we can have a response to this. I want Eustace to understand that this is Dr. Tracy over here with a gray sport coat. He is a professor of English. So feel free, please, to become a close friend with Dr. Tracy, because as of now, Dr. Tracy is taking every word apart of everything that we have to do in legal manipulations, maneuvering responses, and I would hope that already he may have done this. If he hasn't, I would like the original filings to be gone over very carefully by him so that he can pick out the subject of every sentence in there. And then we're going to start putting the prepositions in the right place, and we're going to start deleting all this other they stuff. Who is they? They is not U.S. and P. And if you're going to get down to spiritual guidance, you're going to have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, Mr. USNP, that I don't exist. Well, that may appear to be easy, but how do you prove something that doesn't exist? How do you prove and define love? It doesn't fit any of the definitions that you put on it, like sex and all of these interchanges of emotional feeling. None of those. How do you define, and I just misspoke, defined. How do you find a definition? So they, by law, common law, constitutional law, and supposedly even the law of the new Admiralty Court, at least the adversary should be given cause to prove that there's criminal intent here. That's what they're asking for. Criminal charges. The judge knows this will go forever. And it's going to get worse, and he knows it. I'm not so sure, but what you really should be down on your knees praying that the judge does something equally stupid. Because there will come a time when somebody's going to be able to open their mouth somewhere, and oh my goodness. And they really don't want to look bad to the people. Because they have to depend, at least the lower courts, have to depend on the electorate process. They don't. But by law, they're supposed to. And worse, after you begin to get a little more publicity and a little more publicity, they may have to scrunch that barricade up closer to the judge so that the people can get in there. Or somebody is going to get brave enough to walk through that gate and sit on the other side. other than the court jesters. Obviously, you cannot do this with a lawyer. A voyeur. Because they know the rules and the judge won't let them get away with it. They know that you don't know the rules and they'll let you get away with just a little bitty bit if it's not important. Because they write the secret rules. They go and they have their secret meetings at the bar. And let me tell you, it isn't the same kind of bar that is represented in the court. And if you're not a member of that elite club, you're destined to be kicked out. And they'll even make local rules where anybody who is an ex-attorney cannot even get beyond that bar to sit with you. And then they will accuse that paralegal of practicing law without a what? License. That is stupid. It's a club membership card. And you have to pass certain elements of their initiation to even get your card. And you have to be practiced at lying. Did anyone notice the other day? You see, these are subtle little things. Subtle little things. Do you notice there's no corpse? There's no damaged party in there. What are they going to do? Bring US&P institution in there? They can't bring Walter Russell. Dorma can bring Walter Russell, but they can't. They sure don't want Eustace Mullins talking because he knew Walter. And right in their own books, they don't want Doris to be allowed to have any of these copies because in one of them it says for 39 days. Walter Russell was almost in a state of coma while he was, quote, illumined. And this comes from both a reference to watching these things happen. Or you can say, well, Lyle Russell wrote about this. Well, Walter Russell was married to a woman named Helen for 51 years while he wrote these other things. So that's hearsay. Let's just knock out Lyle right now. See. What do you mean, Your Honor? Well, Timothy Binder says that there were 12 years between Walter's divorce and his meeting of Lau. Good grief, that would have made him 132 years old. Miracles do happen, I'll tell you, if you get illumined. And this is in no wise whatsoever to diminish Lau. But Timothy Binder wrote it and mailed this out to anybody who wrote to US&P about this. They tell you lies, 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 he will proclaim. And then he'll write something like that. If you don't know more about the founders of the very material you espouse, isn't that a lie in itself? And all the man had to do was what Nora did and what others out there did, and that is go and look at the records of the New York Times. And the fact that Walter came to Reno, where he could end his marriage of 51 years, so that he would be free to marry Lau. And I thank you back there for your... Always ask a child.
In this, I've been illumined.
Oh.
I called Little Crow, and he is in Lancaster on his way.
All right.
Should be here around 11.
Bless him. I can yell till then. I feel bad to take the time when I know all of you are sick of me and you've just been itching. Who is this Eustace Mullins? So remind me at 2 minutes of when is he coming?
11.
Remind me at 2 minutes of 11. We'll let Eustace do his speech. Eustace never been away from this bunch. Never, never, never. But you see, you have to wait until the sequence of events are right. You don't bring someone with a truth foundation that a Eustace Mullins holds and has been willing to hold against the darkness for so many years. You don't bring him in to another cult group of channelers making a buck off the heart and soul of someone else. He won't find that here. And there always is a proper time and place for everything. And I want him to come into great comfort with all of us because we're going to change your world. Now, when Little Crow said that to Dharma about 15 years ago, she burst out laughing and she said she had written a little story or had a little idea of a story. He looked at her and he said, he shook his head. This was the very first meeting. And we had some Pleiades books. And they were talking about making a little motion picture or something. And they were looking for an Indian. We didn't want to tread upon anyone's toes. And so a man, a Dr. Coffey, I believe, was recommended that they call to clear any kind of Indian. Oh, you wouldn't want to move on their sacred spirituality. And we obviously were going to call this Sipapu. And what is Sipapu? And what is Sipopu? And Sipapu and Sipapu. What is this? It's basically an earth believing, I come from the earth, I come from Mother Nature attitude. Not as strongly associated, you see, are the Plains Indians, the Lakotas, the Dakotas, the Wakan people, versus the Omdoji. They believe that in the evening they go, the spirit comes and goes through this Sipapu. It is simply their term for ingress, egress. This opening. So we need someone who knows what Sipapu is. So they start calling the university, and they are told from the Department of Archaeology that they should get in touch with this Dr. Coffey, etc., etc., etc. And when the call was finally made, they connected with someone who said, we'll have him call you back. Well, 3 or 4 days went by, and no call back. So finally, Mr. Popper calls back to the school and get someone else on the phone who was seemingly a little more knowledgeable, who chuckled and said, oh, Well, he died 4 years ago, and I'm not surprised he didn't call you back.